And I'm Roshni Desai.
Happy Black History Month. This week, we'll be spotlighting our educators.
Today, we have with us Mr. Magusu. Mr. Magusu, could you tell us about yourself and how you came to Canon?
So I was born originally in Kenya and lived there for 17 years. Moved to the United States when I was 17. Finished my high school over here. Went to college down in Tennessee to a school called King University. And I majored in biology. That's where I actually ended up with, like, pre-med. And actually, I really didn't know what to do with it. I didn't want to go to pharmacy school, neither do I want to go to medical school or do any veterinary medicine. So I just kind of stagnated for a little bit, for maybe a couple of years, and I ended up choosing teaching.
Wow.
And I started teaching all, you know, pretty much all the science subjects and all the math. So in terms of teaching experience, I've taught all the way from third grade all the way to 12th grade.
Oh, wow.
And before I came to Canon, I was doing 6th grade all the way to 12th grade. So I don't have any siblings. I was raised by a single mom. I was really close to my grandparents. They're no longer here. They've gone on, to heaven. So I was really close to them. So, and my dad has not been in the picture. Probably, honestly, there's no recollection of him in my life. You know, and so single mom, raised, no other siblings, plenty of cousins. My granddad on her own, my granddad, my grandmother had a total of 14 kids.
Oh, wow.
So I have a lot of uncles and aunts.
Yeah.
So I have quite a big family.
Wow.
So, and married, I got 3 kids, 15-year-old boy, name is Enoch. I got a 15-year-old girl, name is Grace. He just turned 11, my last born, maybe Violet Joy. So that's the story.
Thank you so much. So you said that you're a Kenyan, and you told us a little bit about your family heritage, but could you expand about where you came from and how Kenya was and how, like, just your thoughts about it overall and your family heritage?
Absolutely. One of the things that people don't realize is in Kenya, actually, the national language is English.
Oh, wow.
So all the school curriculum is in English. So one of the first questions that they asked me is, did you have to, at least when I moved here, they said, did you have to learn English when you came to the United States? I said, no, actually, in Kenya, the national language is English. And they do teach Swahili in school the same way they teach Spanish here, because Swahili is supposed to be the second national language, so that all the tribes can actually communicate, because we have 42 tribes in total. But that's one uniform language, because not everybody speaks English, believe it or not, even though it's the national language. Kenya itself is very modern. The main city is Nairobi, which is quite a hot tourist place. There's a lot of businesses. And just pretty normal, just like what you find in New York completely. And obviously as you move outside the city, you know, you have the countryside, you know, and that's when you run into some places you can't run into some wildlife, not all places. So that part is a little bit of a myth that, you know, people say, you know, you have lions or tigers and whatnot roaming around. It's like, well, number one, we don't have tigers, but
right,
definitely don't have lions roaming around. With Kenya itself, it was a British colony, so that's part of the whole reason why we speak English. Mm-hmm. So when we got independence from the British, the whole entire curriculum was already in English. So that's why I can I guess, speak fluent English.
Right.
The other part is I do speak, obviously, English, and I do speak Swahili. I do speak my tribal language.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So.
Mr. Magusu, I know that my cousins who live in India, they speak English fluently as well because they went to English medium school. So is there an English medium school in Kenya as well?
Absolutely. There is. I'll just put it out. Yes, there is. Not trying to get too much into it.
You mentioned that you moved to the United States when you were 17. So could you share your experiences about the United States and if you faced any adversities?
Yes. There was a culture shock, you know.
Yeah.
And like one of the things that I faced now, I never seen snow before ever in my life, right? Only on TV, you know, and obviously on TV it looks so good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was playing in it. Oh, you know. For me, I would love to experience that. So my first experience when I came here was in D.C. and they had a blizzard in 93. Came out thinking, you know what? I mean, I knew it was cold, but I don't think I expected that kind of cold. And I don't think I was out being African. I don't think I was out there for more than 5 minutes. I was right back in the house. So that was the first experience. So that was the first time I've experienced snow, which is pretty cool, but it was pretty cold.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the high school part, since I finished my high school here, one of the things that really helped me integrate into the community and the culture really fast, I did sports. So I plugged in to as many sports as I could. Yeah. Did indoor track, outdoor track, did football for the first time. I never played American football. Did that. Did some cross country. So that helped me connect with a lot of people really, really fast. Some of the experiences I had in high school actually it was pretty positive. And I think part of that was just being able to plug in pretty quickly with people and connect with people really fast. So sports was a really great way to do it. So
yeah, that makes
that's
sense.
That's a quick summary of that part. Now when I went to school in Tennessee with the King University, it's in Bristol, Tennessee. And it's way out there, you know. And one of the first experiences that I had, I remember me and my friend, you know, because I went there on a soccer scholarship, an academic scholarship. So, we want to do tour the Bristol downtown city a little bit, just see what they have. It was the first time that I ever saw the Ku Klux Klan in the full gab, marching down the street. And this was in 95. And I was completely shocked. I was like, I thought this was just things you read in a book. So they didn't bother me at all. I thought it was actually hilarious because I've never seen something like that before. My word, they got full gab and they're just marching down the street, you know. So, and then I'll tell you this one story of an adversity that I faced. So it was probably my senior year in college. And I was there for the summer. I didn't want to go back home because I only had maybe a few classes. So I got an apartment. So I needed a job so I can pay for the apartment. And so the school itself had a career center where you can go pick up and they post jobs. Like that. So I went there and picked this one job. So, okay, this will be it might not consume too much of my time. Fill out the application, send it in. They call me, had the interview. The interview went great. They offered me the job. The next day, I get a phone call. And this time, I think it was the manager that got a phone call from. And he goes, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to go through with your hiring. And I said, what will be the reason for doing it? Qualify, what is it? He said, the reason we cannot is because you have an accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They even shy away from it. So you have an accent, which is true. Obviously, they have an accent. And he was saying, since you're going to be working on a golf course, it might be kind of difficult for people to hear you when you're walking talk. And I was like, okay. And so I said, well, obviously we're on a phone conversation. And he goes, yes. I said, you can completely understand all the words that I'm saying right now, right? He goes, yes. I said, definitely that cannot be a reason because obviously we're communicating and we're communicating well. And you're not saying, can you repeat yourself? So So I went back to the career center, and the lady asked me, how did that go? I said, well, I got the job, and then they, you know, they basically didn't give me, you know, I got it, but I got a phone call the next day and said, you know, you don't have the job. And I told her the reason. She got really upset. She grabbed all the pamphlets, all the applications, threw them in the garbage can, called the place, and said, we don't want any more of any of your material here, you know, period. We have no more connections with King University whatsoever. Mm-hmm. A week later, I get a phone call from one of the city lawyers, the town lawyers. You know, I think it's the district attorney. I don't know what they call it. And he says, you know, I thought I was in trouble. I said somebody trying to sue me. You know, what is going on? He said, no. No big deal. Just come here. I just want to have a conversation about your experience you had about this whole particular company. I was like, huh? Okay. So I go sit down, and the guy was absolutely upset. He goes, this is why this town can never grow. Because all the college kids that come, they all end up leaving because they never have that opportunity. Because they hold on to the traditions too much that they exclude people, you know, discriminate against people. You know? So he filed a lawsuit. Wow. And I said, listen, I ain't looking for no trouble, man. Listen, you know, it's not a big deal. I can find another job. As a matter of fact, I already found another job. I just want to move on with my life. I'm good. He goes, no. This is where it begins. This is where we need to make the change. So I'm not sure how far I got because I signed the papers and that was the end of it. And he said, we'll call it if we need you, but the process is begun. I'll take care of the rest of it. So I don't know what happened after that. But that was my challenge that I faced on that point.
Wow. You told us about a lot of the experiences that you've had from your sports career to moving to different places and even the adversities. So could you touch on how these different experiences have impacted you as a person?
Let's see. As a person, I'm a relational person. Mm. So I love, you know, I enjoy people. I enjoy getting to know the person, you know, no matter the nationality, skin color, whatever it is. So some of those experiences that I did have, those other experiences that I have, but that was one of that stood out quite a lot. I did realize that, you know, in any culture, you will have some level of discrimination. And this is why, and I'll tell you this much, like in Kenya, for example, right? It's 42 tribes. And out of the 42 tribes that we have, there's at least one tribe that is, that they like the least. Okay. And part of the reason for that is, you know, it's a tradition. In Africa, there's this thing called circumcision. So this particular tribe does not do so. Okay. The men don't get circumcised. And because of that, they're absolutely full on, you know. So what I realized when I came to the United States, some of the experience that I had, you will find discrimination about it. From African to African, Chinese to Chinese, Indian to Indian, you know, white to white, you name it. So in my heart, I decided, you know, to the best that I can do, you know, to get to know the people and give that opportunity to get to know me, you know? Mm. So that's how I've lived my life. That's how my teaching is from a relational point, you know? And when I look at a student, I don't try to judge whether they're white, black, or the economic status, none of that stuff, or even the level of performance. I just want to get to know the key themselves first. And I felt like out of that part, you get to see a whole lot, you know? And you get to hear actually open up and tell you either about themselves or the experience, and you can actually have more empathy, you know. So that's been my perspective, and that's been my approach in any real, you know, in any group of people. If they don't give me an opportunity to get to know them, I just shake my feet off, I shake the dust off, and move on. Nothing else you can do, you know.
Yeah.
At that point.
Exactly. Thank you so much. I'm sure, I know that the students that you each also love this relational aspect that you have. So we all appreciate that so much.
Yes. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for giving me that opportunity. It was an honor.